1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Game on! Game on! It's game time! Excellent! Game on! Game on! It's game time! Excellent!
Hello, legends!
How are we all doing?
Good. How are you guys? I just realised we're all in hoodies.
I know.
We're all cosy.
Yeah, because it's
bloody cold.
Freezing, man.
I almost brought out a beanie.
Oh, beanie gang.
I mean, sort of. It would have been beanie gang because, like, you wouldn't have told us and you would have been the only one with beanie. And
well, I brought it just in case because apparently we had a bit of a beanie gang going last week, you know.
I want to be in your beanie gang.
Okay.
Is there like gaming? Is there gamer beanies we can get? You know what we should do? We should get Goa beanies.
Hey, let's do that.
Yeah.
Gamer strap beanies. I'm not supporting the Adelaide Crow Sticks. This is PAX.
That's what we thought.
Yeah. Oh, 53 months. Look at this guy. Look at this absolute legend. Yeah, you can hear because you got headphones. Boy, your headphones this week.
I can hear it. Woo!
Thank you, sir. Thank you so
much.
You
even hit the right button. That's awesome.
I did for a change, which is kind of nice, isn't it?
Hey, Mercury Cats. How you doing?
Ah, there's a few legends in the chat.
Mercury Casts, by the way.
Mercury Cats.
Oh, see, my glasses. See, I told you, I remembered my...
Would you like... We can share this.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's your new name, Mercury. Mercury Cats.
I'm Mercury Cats in chat.
I remembered the headphones, not the glasses, so we'll get it right next week.
This is a Camp PAX jumper, so that's what this hoodie is. But it does look like the Adelaide Crows. I'm half pissed. Yeah. Welcome. Yeah,
we got a lot to talk about tonight, but I feel that there's something very important that we need to follow up on from a couple of weeks ago that I just want to play for everybody. So just I tried to make this big screen, but it didn't work for some reason. So just.
That's the TikTok that, there it is. That's the Pingu PC TikTok that Stormy sent me.
Yeah.
And I'm so in love.
It's so good. I don't know what I'd like more, like seeing him go newt or the big.
Yeah.
Big
face.
It's almost like a HAL 9000 sort of big face. Yeah. I can't do that, Dave.
Newt.
Gamma, thank you for the sub 37 months.
Good on you, Gamma. And 53 months sticks. How many years is that? That's a long time.
It's almost 5 years.
It's almost 5 years.
Actually, yeah, 60 months will be 5 years.
It's almost 5 years. Do better.
He would have, but I don't think we were operating before then.
Well, you should have seen it coming. Bloody legend. Good on you. Thank you, mate. Appreciate
it. A hype train is close.
Hype train!
Can I just say one other thing before we dive into bloody good games of the week?
Sure.
Because we've got a big show, so we've got to keep it punchy, we've got to keep it moving. But our new website launched today.
Woo!
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Does look good, doesn't it, eh? The all-new GameOnAus.com. GameOnAus. GameAnus.com. So the all-new GameOnAus.com, it is there, it is ready to go, it is up, it is live, and it looks absolutely chef's kiss.
It's so nice and clean. Like, it looks so good.
It does, doesn't it? It looks like a proper website that we paid a lot of money for. we're very excited by it. So thank you to Digital Hitmen, who were the team behind the scenes who built the website from the ground up for us. And a big thank you to the team and, of course, to all the Game on Australia fans for all of your support. And get along and go and check it out because it's definitely worth a good look. Hello, 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 Arlentric.
And Gamma, thank you for that gift sub to Charlie Golf.
Good on you, Gam.
So, yeah, let's jump into the games, the bloody good games of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband, because we've got a lot to talk about because it's been a big freaking weekend for games announcements. So
huge.
I'm going to jump in straight away here.
Go for it, mate. What do you got for us?
I've got, technically not out yet, but the demo's out, so I've been playing that. It's Metal Hellsinger, and it's Doom, but more music-focused. Like, that's the best way I can describe it.
What do you mean more music-focused?
So, you get more damage when the music's playing and next to the aiming reticle, there's arrows that come in. So, they're your beat that you have to fire on.
Oh!
So it's like, I don't know if people saw Menthonzo last year playing a game called Bullets Per Minute. So that's a similar premise to this, but it's instead of being like a roguelite game that BPM was, it's a level, and it's just so much fun. So you get the fodder demons that you got to try and kill, and then the bigger stuff that comes up, and yeah, it's just all on the beat and all like really cool heavy metal movie. I think even like Serj Tankian's got in to do some vocals on it. So those who don't know, Serj Tankian's the lead singer of System of a Down.
This is awesome. I remember when this first got announced, I feel like it would have been like this time last year or the first time they showed a snippet of it. And it was just, the premise of it is just awesome. Mm. I mean, maybe it's just the musician in me that is just like, oh my God, I really need to play this. Oh yeah, I just think it's wicked. Have they announced any more about like when it's coming out? Do you know?
23rd of September, I think. So this is being done by a group of devs called The Outsiders, who split from a couple of fairly big dev studios. I can't exactly remember which ones. But yeah, they've been producing this game for a while now. They've been acquired, majority acquired by another mob called Funcom, who also did Conan Exiles. And I just, like, when I saw this in the Summer Games Fest showcase, I was just, oh, this looks cool. And then they said there's a demo on Steam, and I've gone, yes, please, I will have that. And, yeah, it's just such a fun game.
First of its kind, right? Like, flicking sort of like this style FPS. I mean, we've spoken so many times about how important games are to music, how games just really set the tone. And obviously, you know, Doom, it's such a great... Doom is such a great game to take off for something like this.
Mick Gordon's soundtrack. You can't imagine Doom without it.
Now. Absolutely, yeah. Right? It's not Doom without that soundtrack. But then to sort of add this element to it, I'm really impressed. I'm looking forward to playing this. All platforms?
All platforms except for Switch.
Yeah, okay.
How much of the demo did you get to play, by the way?
Up to the first boss.
Okay, so how long did that take you?
Half hour or so,
yeah,
I think.
That's pretty decent. I'd be keen to install it and give that a go too.
Did you feel a story from it? Because like a game like this, they could get sort of caught up in the mechanic, which is, you know, just make sure you sort of... But is there any story to this or
Not super from the demo. Like there's a bit of a narration going on because the character you're playing is a female demon, and there's like a male narrator talking about how great she is and how powerful she is and whatnot. So... but yeah, no real story just yet. But obviously, it's a demo, so they wouldn't give too much of that away.
Also, at the end of the day, I mean, that may very well be by design and perfectly right in doing so, because like there's no story to Guitar Hero, for example. The whole point is you're playing to the beat. So
I think I'd just get lost in wanting to progress with the music. I think just the pleasure of hearing the music itself is enough to keep me wanting to go, next song or, you know, whatever the case
is. Right. I want too much out of life. You're right. I just expect too much out of people.
I didn't mean to come across out of that.
No, not at all. It's fine. I get it.
I think I'm just easily, like, pleased. Oh, like, I'm just like, that's cool.
There's Max Gorn. Jinx! Who broke his back.
Cool. All right. But yeah, that's my game of the week. Stormy, how about your game of the week?
Hey, right. T-Ruin.
My game of the week came about because of my stream community, because there was a long story short, there was a joke that happened, and I said, look, if this happened, I would play KFC Dating Simulator, and it happened. So I made good on my promise and played it on Monday night. And basically, it's by PsyUp, the developers PsyUp. And I hadn't heard of PsyUp before this. So this is actually published by KFC. And for those who don't know, KFC actually have their own like KFC gaming social media accounts as well. And basically, your objective of the game is to romance Colonel Sanders, who I'm sure will pop up shortly.
How do you romance him?
Oh, you just have to impress him with your culinary skills. So basically, you play a character that's going to this like culinary school, and your teacher's a corgi, obviously.
Because why not?
Yeah. Because why not? This is your arch nemesis, like this is Ashley, and she's also trying to woo Colonel Sanders. It's just, it's more of like a visual, like a very casual, like visual kind of novel. It's free on Steam. I think I played it for about maybe 2 hours or so, but I was also voicing every single character in my playthrough, so maybe if you're reading it in your head, you probably would get through it a little bit quicker. But this is really quite funny.
I imagine this is exactly what Colonel Sanders' life would have been like. Just women just throwing themselves at him.
You haven't even seen him yet. Time stands still when you see him. That's not him.
Who's that?
That's his name is Van Van the Man Man.
Van Van the Man Man.
It just gets better.
This is fantastic.
That's the corgi teacher named Sprinkles.
Of course, yeah. Hi, Sprinkles.
There's Sprinkles. And wait for it. When the cherry blossoms blow in, that's how you know he's coming. Here we go.
It's like a seat from the back.
That's not him.
No. Pop. Wait for it.
Someone close the window. It's chilly. Okay.
Not chilly. Someone close the window.
Hang on, here we go. And then. He walks. Oh my God. He's gorgeous.
I know.
Wow.
What a silver fox.
I know. It was really good.
Man, that is not the Colonel Sanders that you see when you're waltzing into bloody Armadale at 1 o'clock in the afternoon for your two-piece feed.
It was really enjoyable. I think I laughed a lot more than I was expecting to. It's got a very funny sense of humor. And I found out actually recently, so PSYOP, who has developed this game, announced that they are working with Behavior Inc., who make Dead by Daylight, and they announced last month they are making a dating sim Dead by Daylight game called Hooked on You.
That's sick.
Which is really funny because I, as a Dead by Daylight player as well, I know a lot of the fans are obsessed with some certain characters. It was a little creepy because they're all killers.
Bit of shipping happening.
There's a lot of very.
I'm just reading this dialogue. Sweat begins to bead across your brow. And this is actually exactly how I feel when I walk into a KFC.
It was so good.
Start sweating.
It's definitely a lot of fun. A lot of fun to muck around with. Free on Steam. You can't go wrong. That was my bloody good game of the week. I had so many laughs.
Have KFC with it.
I did actually.
You did.
I did.
Yeah, the whole package.
I did. I had to fully commit to it. I see. And then at the end of the game, I did successfully romance him, but he wouldn't let me work with him in his KFC business. So
he showed you his 11 secret herbs and spices.
No,
did he?
It didn't. No? Listen.
What?
I thought at some point we're going to have a big old smooch, you know, something, because he took me to his place, whatever. And I went and clicked on a dialogue option, and then it was like, this is not that kind of game. And I was like,
poo. Pass the wet wipes. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Anyway, look
God,
at him.
He is beautiful. That is a beautiful man.
His first name must be Fabio, the most beautiful man in the world.
Cosmos. All right, well, good on him.
Yeah, that was my bloody good game of the week.
Bloody good games of the week,
it's
guys.
It's called I Love You, Colonel Sanders KFC Dating Sim. That's amazing. The full name.
Absolutely amazing. Guys, I'm sans a bloody good game of the week this week because I was really busy getting our website ready for launch. So I just want to say that I'm sorry. I'd like to apologise profusely to both of you. I'd like to apologise to Aussie Broadband, our sponsor. And I would like to apologise to our dear listeners of the podcast and people watching the show right now, to you in particular, DJ Drifter, who's wandered in just at the right time to see me say, I don't have a bloody good game of the week to talk about. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
As Stick says, disgraceful.
Yeah, I think Six was talking about not being able to smooch Colonel Sanders. Well,
they're both kind of disgraceful.
That'd be it. but I'll do better next week. I promise you guys.
Two games for next week.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, you gotta make it up now.
That's my homework. Gladly make it up. Let's flip through because thank you Aussie Broadband for supporting us for bloody good game of the week. Bloody good broadband as always, because we have got a big week of showcases to get through.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Jiminy Jillikers.
All right.
Where do we even start?
Well, let's start off with general impressions because we've had the Summer Games Fest showcase. We've had Xbox showcase. We've had Capcom showcase. We've had Epic Games showcase. Netflix did their Geeked Week. Tribeca got in on it. Capcom, I can't remember. I already mentioned Capcom. But so many different showcases. And it's still going. Like overnight, they had an extended look at some of the Xbox games. And it's just, it's crazy. So much going on. How are people feeling about it? Are we worn out, or what's general impressions?
Well, I think Raven Skies just said it all, and thank you, because I decided I was going to wear something fitting today. I'm wearing my umbrella jacket because I was excited for the Capcom showcase, because obviously any like more Resident Evil is always good news to me. So with Resident Evil, there was quite a few announcements. So obviously, Resident Evil 4 remake, exciting, but they had a lot of news about Resident Evil Village and the DLC that they have for it. So with the mercenaries, which they've introduced in the Capcom showcase here, you could play as Chris and Heisenberg and... Lady D.
Lady D!
I'm really disappointed that her first name's not Lady. Like, it was, like, the thing... Like,
that's a really good point. Yeah. I thought her first name was Lady.
No, it's no. Asina or Aline. Alcina. Here we go. Was it?
Alcina.
Yeah.
Can you go back one more, by the way? Just
I love Heisenberg.
His name
too.
Is Carl.
Carl
his
Heisenberg.
His name is Carl. I don't even care if it's spelled with a K. What a crap name. Carl. Hello, Carl. Imagine him walking in and somebody saying to you, mate, we've got to go and kill a heap of people. I know your names, but we're going to call you Heisenberg because telling you to go and kill a heap of people that we need to go and kill and then saying, Carl, can you please do that, is a shit way to go about this. So we'll call you Heisenberg.
Could be worse. It could be Chad.
That's a very good point.
I'm so excited for this mercenaries mode because, no, like, becoming Lady D, like, to be stepped on or not to be stepped on? Like, this is the question. Do you become the one stepped on and do you step on the people? Like, it's... really, really fun.
You got to have a go.
You got to have the best of both worlds, and that's what they've done with Mercenaries. Now, this here is the DLC called Shadows of Rose, which is based on Ethan Winter's daughter. Very, very exciting because she does have some kind of powers that they're hinting at here. I won't go into too much just in case you haven't played it because you're like, why does she have powers? But you can see here, which always makes me sad, she's wearing a dad's jacket.
Hang on a sec. Wait a minute. So this is DLC. Okay, so I haven't played through the whole game, Village, yet.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me she lives?
Maybe, but there's more to it than meets the eye.
Oh God, okay.
Yeah, no. Well, it's interesting, right? Because, and I'm going to get into this in a second, because obviously her DLC story is played in third person, and obviously Village is all first person.
Yeah.
So they also announced as well at the same time, which I think will come afterwards, they're actually doing the whole of Village in third person mode. Which is really interesting.
Why is that interesting to you?
Well, like 7 and 8, for me, like going from third to first, from like the older Resident Evil games to first person. First person, I feel like for me, is definitely more scary because you are in the brain of that one person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm interested to see how, and I'll get to this in a minute because there was just so many announcements. I'll get to why, like I guess...
Hit the pause buttons. Hit the pause buttons.
Whether third person is still going to come across as scary, and I guess like the whole experience would be quite different. But it's definitely something I'm interested to see as to why they made that decision.
What you mean. The scare, like the horror element, takes on a different style because I like when you are in the face of someone, like when you peek around a corner and there's Lady D and she's coming straight for you. There's no buffer in between.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I get that. Whereas But the third person element, like you can still get away with it. Obviously, the setting's great and all of that. But as long as there's the thrill of the chase, I think third person you're still going to be able to get. But I do understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I don't doubt the horror is still like. I mean, I don't doubt the horror will still be there because it will be. But there's something about first person that's very limited. Obviously, in your point of view, where if you do turn around, you don't know what's next to you. Whereas if you are in third person, you kind of have a little bit more of spatial like awareness. You know,
that's how I played all of the third person Resident Evil, so I didn't shit myself too.
Yeah,
much.
I mean, obviously 2 and 3 do it really well. Now Reverse. Was something that was announced around the time that Village was. It was their online multiplayer mode where you basically play, like, it's you versus everyone else and you can play as, like, Leon or Jill, Chris, and you pick up these little, I can't remember what they call them because it was so long ago, these, like, vials to turn you into some of the iconic villains to take down the other players and stuff.
Sick.
And it didn't get talked about for a very, very, very long time. And only just now they've announced, I believe it's coming out in October. I feel like it is on or around the same time that the Village DLC is coming out. And to top it all off as well, they announced all new gen upgrades for Resident Evil 2, 3 and 7 as well. So if you haven't had your Resident Evil fix already, I think now's a good time to jump.
You're
going to
get it.
You are going to get it.
That was pretty much the headline from Capcom, right?
Yeah.
And there were a couple of other things as well, but too much to get through. But my takeaway from the whole sort of past few days is that great that all of this is happening. How am I going to play it all? Like, that's where the hell am I going to find time? And I'll get to – I've got something to say about Starfield. Starfield, I've just got a little – there's a little rocket that I want to direct at Starfield because I need to have a bit of a chat about it. And there was something else that happened with Starfield that made me piss myself laughing. But basically, so we've done Capcom, Summer Games Fest. I mean, we pretty much – the three of us were talking pre-show when we were sitting down in our production meeting. It was kind of like it didn't really show anything new. Like like everything that Summer Games Fest was just basically, hey, here's our festival of a whole heap of things we've already sort of trickled out to you.
Right? Now, just to clarify, right, like we say they didn't really show anything new AAA-wise, but straight you said that there were some indie games that they showed.
Yeah, that was more my thing. So, like, there wasn't a lot of really big AAA new stuff for me. Like, we knew Starfield was coming. The Resident Evil remake stuff is good, but, like, it's not new. It's remakes of a lot of stuff. And I know a storm is about to smack me over the back of the head for saying
I don't know how I just talked about the Capcom showcase without talking about the Resident Evil 4 remake that's coming out next March. And I'm obviously going to get very defensive over these remakes because I feel like they're not just a remake. Like, they haven't just re-released it with high def stuff.
Well, it's a – because that's the difference between the remake and a remaster. Yeah. A remaster is just upscaling everything, but a remake is where they build it from the ground up.
Yeah, I think the almost – because this is exactly the words they used as well for the Resi 4. I promise I'll stop talking about Resident Evil in a second. But
for the
4 announcement is basically – it's like a almost like a reimagining. Like, they're still going to stay faithful to the original game, but obviously give it that new kind of modern touch and treatment that 2 and 3 have been given.
But it's still an existing game. It's still going to take those elements from them. And it's even like Last of Us Part 1 is getting a remake for PS5.
That was always going to happen.
But it's not that old. Like, people are telling me it's 10 years old, but it's not that old a game. And I feel like there is just so many remakes and remasters out there that – And they'll get sold as a new game price. And to me, I'm getting off topic a little bit here, but I felt like that was a lot of what this was. And to me, the good things that come out of this were the indie titles. It was like Devolver Digital Showcase, who are just amazing in everything that they do. And I don't think I have it up here to have a look at. But like, if you haven't seen it, go watch the Devolver Digital Showcase. They always do such an amazing job, and they've got that – I think it's Nina is that reoccurring character that comes out every time they do a showcase. But it came out of there. Plucky Squire came out of there, which I am just so ridiculously pumped to have a look at and play.
Announcement of the week. Mm. Like, for me, no doubt, announcement of the week. This game just looks like it's on an absolutely – completely unique, different level. So we're watching the sort of initial introduction clip, right, where we come up to the book, the Plucky Squire, E.N. Arthur. And upon seeing this is what I thought, that once they sort of jump into the book as the game, this is what I thought the game was going to be.
And you know what? I would have been perfectly happy with that.
Me too.
This looks really damn cool.
It's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. So, you know, you're sort of mucking around through this book and it goes from top down sort of Zelda style. There's one of the original Nintendo Entertainment System games, Punch-Out, right? Like, there's so many callbacks, and then bang, he does this. He jumps out of the book and it all goes 3D.
Yeah, it's freaking crazy. Like, I am... It looks amazing, and then when it keeps going on, so you're running around the play center there, and then you're jumping into other things, cups and all sorts, and it just looks so amazing. And to me, looking at this title, hands down, beat anything AAA that came out.
I agree with you.
Right in saying, I'm trying to fact check like myself here. Is this an Aussie team? It is an Aussie.
I think it is.
Yeah, Brisbane.
Yeah,
it's
called
out of Brisbane.
All Possible Futures. That's the Aussie video game studio that's made this, which is like, I don't know, makes me really proud because I'm just like, oh, this is awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I did have that in my notes here. So you're Aussie.
Yeah,
studio,
All Possible Futures.
Yeah. So like, for me, the thing that I love about this is that there's a lot of throwbacks to a lot of the games we grew up playing. There's obviously the top-down sort of, you know, you're playing as Link, Legend of Zelda style. There's Punch-Out. There's a lot of, you know, side-scrolling 2D platform style. But, yeah, when you start seeing things, as you were sort of speaking to, Straight, when you start seeing things like how they've integrated this room into the gameplay and you're having to play through the side of the mug and play through other sort of bits and pieces in the room, far out. I'm just absolutely blown away.
Yeah.
Pav's in chat. I knew Pav was going to be up for this game, 100%. This is definitely a Pavlova game. Definitely a Pavlova game.
Definitely.
Can we just go back? Just one point I wanted to make, and it was about, the remake we were talking about before. Yeah, Last of Us. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, right, and I get what you're saying. Like, there's a tiny little piece of me that, like, sort of stews away when I know that to play that I'm going to have to, bless you, fork out again, just about full price probably to play that game again, right? But on you know, next gen. But that game was released 10 years ago. There's an 8-year-old kid who was born 10 years ago who's now 18. You know what I mean? Like that's like that. This is, and that game still holds up today.
Yeah. Mm. And look, as someone that loves retro gaming, I'm all for going back and playing them, but make it backwards compatible so that you can go and buy a PS3 copy and play it. And yeah, it might not look as good, but I feel like it's...
Do you think it's a money grab?
I think...
Is that part of it? Do you think it's a money grab?
I don't want to go as far as to say that, but it remakes and re-releases do sort of have that feel to it.
Mm.
It feels like that we don't have any original ideas or concepts, so we're just going to re-release our really big game from X... And, you know, people are going to lap it up.
Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
I was going to say, forgive my bias here, because I'm going to make the Last of Us remaster comparison to, like, Resident Evil and stuff. As far as I'm aware, the Last of Us remake, or not the remake, well, now they're calling it the Last of Us Part 1, I believe,
yeah.
For the PS5 that they're making. There's no new content. It's still the same game, though, isn't it?
Didn't they say they're bringing multiplayer into it? I think.
Because the original had a multiplayer mode. Are they just reviving it and bringing it back?
I'm not 100% on that. I vaguely remember something about multiplayer.
I just think, I don't know. It's like, if anyone out there has seen the visual comparisons between The Last of Us that you can play right now and the PS5 ones, they're incredible.
They are incredible. Visually stunning.
I would look at it and it's almost like weird, like Uncanny Valley, because they look so real. Yeah.
And I'm not denying that. And it looks amazing, but it's the same game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with your point there. For me, one of the best remakes that I was like, I am more than happy to fork out full price for this game, was Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Because that was different. That wasn't the turn-based combat. That was that was like the FF15 style combat.
Absolutely. Yeah. But not only that, like they took a part of the original game and they expanded it.
Yeah.
Like they expanded it profusely, unapologetically. Mm-hmm. They said, we're going to send you into the depths of this area that you remember playing as a kid. And I, like that for me, like if we're, you know, talking, I don't mind seeing a remake, but like I think that's actually the way to go about doing a remake. That's worth it. But I suppose, you know, for them, it's like, who are we talking to? Yeah, it's a never ending argument with, you know, pluses and minuses for both sides.
Yeah, that's it. And I guess I'm just getting a little bit tired out from them all. Like
I can understand that.
Like even like I'm a big Star Wars gamer. In the last sort of year, we've had Episode 1 Racer get a release on the Switch. Republic Commando get a release on the Switch. Knights of the Old Republic just got a re-release on the Switch, even with them working on the bigger remastering for the PlayStation. And you know, there are just so many games that they re-release. And credit to these games, they're not being released at full price, but you can bet your bottom dollar that Last of Us Part 1 is going to be.
Mm. I think it is.
Yeah. $125, $100, $125 out of your wallet to play a game that you've played before.
Going based off what you said as well, like agreeing with you here, like I feel like when I did play The Last of Us on my PlayStation 4, the graphics and stuff and everything about it still held up really well. And I'm not a big Last of Us fan, like I'll admit it, and I did really enjoy it. But yeah, if it's, I don't know, it's, I'm on both sides of the coin here. Like, I'm excited to, like, have them redo it and rejig it with, you know, to be able to perform on the PlayStation 5 and to have the visuals like they do now. But then the other side of it is kind of like what you were saying. Mm. It's a whole $125 like brand new game for a game that came out like 10 years ago as well. It's like...
And I'm glad for fans of those games, like when you get into play Resident Evil 4 in the newer graphics, it's going to be amazing for you. And I guess maybe it's a little bit of me because I'm not into the whole horror games as well. And it just, yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
If that game was...
Last of Us?
Last of Us. Mm-hmm. If The Last of Us was released in today's day and age, like, you know, they released it today, right? And they released it in the realm of all of the other incredible games that we have... Do you think it's still worth $100? You've never played it before. This is the first time you're playing it, the first time you're seeing it. Do you think it still, as a story and as a game, holds up and is worth $100?
I don't know. I've never played it. But from what I've heard, yes.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. And that's like, therein lies the, I think, the them trying to find the balance because... Mm. Christ, it is like it does. It still holds up. It's still got an incredible story. The gameplay is fantastic. Like a lot of these remakes and stuff as well, as somebody who played a lot of them, I think there's got to be someone out there who finds a solution about the what, like why do we have to have the remake at this particular price? Can't we find a happy balance in there? Because I'd be more than happy to go, hey, here you go, PlayStation. Here's the $100 that I spent on this game a few years ago, like 10 years ago. Mm. I really want to play this on PS5 because I want to play it through the, you know, all of the new shit. I want to play it through all of the great graphics and stuff like that. I'd be happy to give them $40.
Mm.
I reckon. I'd be happy to give them $40.
Yep.
Maybe 50. You'd probably push me a little bit.
Yeah.
Or even if you've got the original disc, if you pay like an upgrade fee or something.
Yeah.
Because
do better.
It's really hard. I don't know. I try and play both sides of the story here because I just think you know there's a whole team that's just gone and made this remake which looks incredible and is like an incredible like example of the talent and the quality of work they put out. You want to pay them appropriately as well.
Mm. To me, it's a like high up issue because someone at the time has gone, let's green light this and do it, but anyway, more games to talk on.
We hit Plucky Squire, Angerfoot and Cult of Lamb for D&D as well, like Devolver Digital. So they basically were like, and you always rely on Devolver Digital to give us a few of the, here's your left hook. You know what I mean? Like this is something a little bit left of center for you.
They have just found their niche in just amazing indie games.
And they deliver.
Yep.
They really deliver so well.
Yep.
Epic. Did we see much from Epic at all? You had an interesting one for me. I don't know that this was really a great... I don't know, but you've been playing it. PC Building Sim 2.
Mate, I am in love with this game because it's out on... It's got a beta on Epic Games Store at the moment. And as someone that loves building my computers, this is it. Like, this is legitimately it. This is... Every single cable and component you can remove.
Right.
Yeah, you can put all the lights in, you can put your water cooling in it, you can put stickers on the outside, and they've gotten on board with all the different manufacturers around. So you'll see the RTX 3080s in here, so you'll be able to get a virtual one even if you can't get a real one. But it's just... It was just so therapeutic for me. Like you were talking about Power Wash Simulator the other week. This is that for me.
Yeah.
Like it is just super relaxing. And as an IT guy by trade as well, being able to like plug in a virus scanner and it just scans, finds it and removes it, it's like my dream. Yeah.
That's so good.
But I just had so much fun playing the demo to the point where I forgot I was playing a demo and it got to the end and I went, oh. Is that all?
That's a good feeling though, is when you get to the end and you're like, oh, but I want more. Because you were saying as well it had a career mode.
Yeah, so I was playing the career mode. And
a career mode?
Yeah, because you're running your own repair shop.
Yeah.
And basically people give you their computers and say, oh, I need this fixed, or I want a new video card or hard drive, or can you make sure it can run this game, or I've opened too many Pornhub browsers and now I've got a big virus, can you remove that? You know, stuff like that. So it's
that's what she said. Yeah,
exactly.
A big virus. Yeah, you know what would cool. be cool? This is how we should be buying PCs.
Well, like in parts.
To customize it yourself.
Like as in you build it in your PC building simulator too, and then at the end you can add to cart.
And, that would be sick.
And order the PC. Really would. Yeah.
Well, I was saying to Straight when I was just in general asking, like, oh, what have you been playing this week? And you mentioned playing this. I had a lot of help building my first PC because Charlie Golf had built PCs before. And there's nothing more stressful than putting, like, trying to click in the parts and stuff because you don't want to muck anything up, especially when you spent so much money on your PC. And I was like, well, I could probably learn quite a bit from actually just playing this demo. Mm. And this does look really therapeutic, yeah, like seeing it all come together.
And like when you're plugging in the cables, it highlights where it goes. So if you you want to put in the power cable for a hard drive, you'll click on the hard drive and then it'll say highlight where you plug it in. So you don't have to go searching. It just highlights and says, here you go.
That's sick.
And yes, sorry, Cardinim, I'm pretty sure it will play Crysis. It should even run Doom if we want to go on another meme.
We have a couple of movie-based franchises that we're seeing return to Morbia. Now, that's Lord of the Rings game.
Return to Moria.
Moria?
Yeah. So,
I was going to say Morbius. We're not allowed to say that name. No, don't say Morbius.
It's Morbin time.
No, we will will that into existence. Mark my words. Don't do it.
It's haunting me everywhere.
So this is Return to Moria. So another Lord of the Rings game. So this is essentially mining, right? Like you're going to the mines.
Like a little bit of a resource mining sim and building sim, which seemed quite cool and a bit different for Lord of the Rings because normally it's all about the action-y sort of stuff. But yeah, no, I thought it was pretty cool looking and deserved a bit of a shout out. Rather.
This is interesting. This is I didn't expect to see visuals
style?
Like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Yeah, this kind of style. I was expecting to see something a little bit more, I guess, realistic. Mm. Not that I'm complaining. I actually like this. This is the thing. Like with a game that's based on a movie, like I feel like you have to have a shtick. You've got to have something that sort of separates it enough and makes it a game, if that makes sense. And if that's it for this game, I think it looks quite good. That's great.
Yeah, for sure.
And the other one was Disney Speedstorm. Now, this is basically Disney Mario Kart.
I haven't seen this. Like, I don't know how the Epic Games Showcase, like, slipped my brain. But this.
Yeah.
Now, we did discuss before, it's hard to, announce a driving game with characters and not compare it to Mario Kart.
Just like you can't do a fighting game without comparing it to Smash.
Look how cool this is. Look, there's Milan.
But this is Mario Kart. Like even the visual that we're seeing right now is staring down the barrel backwards as they cross the finish line. Like that's Mario Kart. Yeah. Like look at the slide and the jet coming out of the back. This is interesting for me, like, because it is a blatant ripoff. And it's at some point, where do you kind of, like, even the way that the wheels are turned in at some particular point, like, Mario Kart's the one that's introduced that to their racing, where you go through different sections of race levels and your wheels turn upside down and you're basically floating, right? So, like, at what point do you kind of go, and it's on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, this was part of the Epic Showcase, but it's coming to pretty much everything. In fact, there's a closed beta on Steam at the moment that I've got it downloaded, but I haven't played it yet.
I am surprised Disney hasn't done something like this already, to be honest.
Well, it's not a racing game, but it's called Kingdom Hearts.
Good one, Straight.
Yeah, you got me there. No, I think like the Disney fan in me is like, oh my god, look at all these, like, because you imagine now I don't know if you guys will remember this game, but I played it a lot. Disney Skate Adventures on the original Xbox. That was incredible because you could actually you played like a little mini version of different Disney characters in proper world, so you could play in the world of the Lion King, or you could skate around Andy's room and stuff like that. And the thrill of getting to be in those worlds and use your skateboard and do tricks across, like, you know, Andy's bed and his toys and stuff was so fun. And, like, for me, I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, my God, they've got so much content, like, in terms of movies and stuff to muck around with in terms of races.
You see tracks. The doors in this shot. That's Monsters Inc. Yeah.
Right. And I saw Pirates of the Caribbean one. It's just awesome. Like, they've got so much to play around with. Again, like, I'm so surprised they haven't done this already. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's – it. It's I play it.
It's Mario Kart. Yeah, I can't look past the fact that it's Mario Kart.
Would that put you off from playing it though?
Yeah, because I feel like I've played it. Well, like if that makes sense. Like, it's not enough for me to. Like, to play as Mickey Mouse, it's not enough for
not
me to
for
go.
Not even for the tracks? Look, they've got these little rails you can go on.
I don't know.
I reckon this is going to be free to play just quietly.
You reckon?
Yep.
Do you think so? Yep.
I think there'll be stuff to pay to watch.
If it is free to play, then yeah, I reckon it'll be like some kind of battle pass or something.
I wonder if there's the potential to integrate it into Disney Plus. Like, you know how Netflix has released their own games? And they did Geek Week.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Interesting. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Anyway, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Wow, what a case, right?
Woo.
Amazing. He was a Disney character.
Why do you look at me like that?
The look you just gave me.
I'm not touching that one. No, you can keep that one. So that was some of the epic showcase.
Yeah.
Where's all the rum gone? But then, of course, there's the big showcase that we haven't spoken about yet. The Xbox Bethesda one.
Yeah, good God.
I'm going to kick this one out. And I did see earlier actually in chat, Charlie Golf said the Xbox Bethesda showcase just highlighted how good a value Games Pass is.
Mm. Oh, mate, 100%.
Yeah, I absolutely wholeheartedly agree.
I saw a vid of Nick Boy from the back pocket team. And like he was doing a reaction video to Hollow Knight Silksong.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, all of us, fuck yeah. Please, more Hollow Knight. I can't wait to see Pav pop up in chat.
Hollow Knight?
And so, you know, Hollow Knight Silksong. And then, now was it, there he is. Did someone say Hollow Knight? You legend. Now, I'm pretty sure this was the one. Was it day one Game Pass?
Everything that they announced was pretty much day one Game Pass.
I mean, you look at the slate over the next 12 months of the shit coming out from Xbox. It's like, what?
I feel like we're spoiled. Like, spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mercury mentioned it in chat, and we're going to talk about it in nuts and bolts afterwards, myself and Natty, but the Riot stuff that's coming.
Oh, man.
My God. League of Legends, all... Champions unlocked. League of Legends
That's
Wild
huge.
Rift on the mobile, all champions unlocked. Valorant, all agents unlocked.
Yeah.
Through Games Pass.
Like, I mean, me and Natty alone, I'm actually surprised. We haven't talked about it because we both play like TFT. I think Natty plays more TFT, but I play a lot of League and I'm fairly new to it. And obviously unlocking certain characters has been part of my online journey, I guess, playing it. And now knowing that, you know, even playing Valorant, like all those agents, all those champions and stuff, like I think select little legends from TFT will be unlocked to use is like really hard to wrap my head around. I think it's really, really interesting.
And foundation stats in Legends of Runeterra as well, their card game.
Oh, yes, and there's some Wild Rift perks as well. It was insane. Like I did not, like that wasn't on my list of things I expected to see at the Xbox Bethesda showcase. As soon as like KDA music started playing, I was like, I beg your pardon? I was like, what's going on? And I'm like shouting out to Charlie Golf, what's going on? What's Riot doing with Xbox? It was just, it's insane. Like,
how do you even keep that a secret?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. There was no chat about it whatsoever.
I do want to show off one game though that it's, we spoke about this beforehand, but it's just so goddamn creepy. And, like, I looked at it and went...
What's this?
This is Scorn.
Scorn. Turn it up. Join me
as we explore Scorn's mesmerizing labyrinth of odd forms.
Yeah. And it kind of looks a little bit like the background of Prometheus, the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
In the middle that doesn't, though. That's... Jesus.
Filled with biomechanical contraptions. Part flesh, part machine. An industrial civilization, now lying in decay and ruin.
Okay, well, there's your plot story. What happened to him?
The underbelly of the world, wanting nothing more than to be left undisturbed.
But it's just creepy AF, man.
Like everything looks very moist. For lack of a better word.
Moist.
Everything is focused on building a specific atmosphere.
It's
yuck.
From a unique,
but like also, it looks really cool. Like I say, yuck, but like
yuck, but awesome.
But awesome. Yeah.
It's a little pods from the Matrix.
Yeah, like,
who's the dude you're playing as? Do you know?
I don't know. I've only looked at the trailer, but I just went, this is, wow.
I like the concept of biomechanical. Like the marriage of flesh and machine, but in particular in the way that they do this. Because they, like, it's interesting. I would have loved to have gotten into the heads of the design team early on when they were sort of conceptualizing this game. Because they could have gone down the line of, like, you know, space sci-fi, right? Where everything is like light and bright and metallic and all of that sort of stuff. And they go biomechanical this way. I like the way that they've done this. I like the fact that they've gone scary.
Definitely more flesh than machine, which I think is really fascinating. And obviously, like, I think it does its job as well, marketing-wise as well, because even though...
what is that?
Yeah, exactly.
What was that big head?
even though I hadn't heard of this game before and I saw glimpses of it, I still remembered, like, going, oh, do you remember that really, like, creepy, gross, like, just, like, visually, it's just going to stick in your mind. So I think this is incredibly fascinating.
But
Bethonzo was talking about the Riot and Xbox, like the Game Pass perks and stuff. It says people at the mid to high end of ranked already have all the characters unlocked anyway and have a general good idea of mechanics, which is true. And I think, which I'll quickly touch on as well, I guess for someone who's new like me and still trying to build up their library of champions, now knowing that I'm going to have all of them accessible to me on Game Pass is almost a little bit overwhelming, but I can see how maybe for people who are intending on playing for the first time, like that's going to really open up their horizons to having basically every character at their fingertips and not having to hopefully get that champion shard and unlock them. I think it's a really fascinating thing that they're going to be doing, and I'm just interested to see how it plays out.
I think we're going to see our mix of pro players and casual players, right? Like exactly what happened with Overwatch. Now, Overwatch, everybody pretty much landed at exactly the same time. But what ended up happening was the competitive went one way and they got stuck into it as much as they could. And then there was the, you know, a plethora of being able to play it so casually, and they found their people. And it's going to be the same here. You know, as someone who is a I don't know if you guys know this, but I was a former general manager of LCO.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that? No. Oh, that's interesting.
No, I didn't.
Okay. So, wow, crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Tell us again, Pete.
I was former general manager of an LCO team that went to MSI, actually, and made it out of group stages, which was Australian history, but no big deal. Pension at GG for us here. Seeing these guys play professionally. And they have been like playing this game since it started, and they've been working at it, and they work at it around the clock. And they're going to be your top 10% of people, right? But I think the opportunity that this brings Riot, and I personally, looking at the figures in terms of like playership or player base across the globe, Riot has been, League of Legends has been in decline for a while. Right, so like something to arrest that decline, partner with Xbox and release it on their platforms, and all of a sudden you just boost that potential player base tenfold. And the other thing is that Xbox, being a sort of a more broad open audience, it takes away a little bit of that, oh, League of Legends is too hard and it's esportsy, like, you know what I mean, like it sort of opens it up to those sort of you sort of casual players to have a go at it. And I think it's a very clever move by Riot. I think we all sort of see Riot as this incredible bastion, which they are in their own right, and they're so incredibly successful, and they make a shit ton of money, and they release great games. But Riot times Xbox is just going to blow their player base wide open and secure the longevity of that game for years to come.
Like, we haven't even talked about, like, I know we probably won't have time for it, but we haven't even talked about Kojima.
Oh my God. We don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
It's just he's gone, we're just working on something completely brand new. I always love it when Kojima comes out and goes, oh, we're working on something completely brand new. Everybody loses their minds. Everybody loses their minds.
Can I quickly ask you something as a former LCO manager?
You may. General manager.
Oh, sorry, general manager. Right. Do you think, and this is a little segue, do you think we will see a resurgence or more popularity in Overwatch now that Overwatch 2 has a proper release and going free-to-play in October?
Really interesting question. I think free-to-play will bring a whole heap more people back in.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, a sequel is always going to bring some of the people that have dropped off from the original. A sequel is always going to bring... Yeah, I know, mate. I know. Menthons, though, I get it. Right. COVID was completely different. COVID, I'm just talking about Menthons and what he said there. Pete, what gives you the idea that Riders lost players? COVID brought players back, right? But I'm talking about before that, it was in decline. These are the numbers that you're talking are general global numbers. There are different numbers I was talking about, more professional based numbers. But anyway, the back to Overwatch 2. As someone who like pumped so many hours into Overwatch, the original Overwatch 2 is going to bring me back.
Same.
So, and I don't know if it'll keep me around for a long time, but even if they move the needle on, you know, maybe 25-30% of the player base that they lost touch with, and managed to bring those people back, then, you know, it's a great idea. Mm. But I mean, Overwatch, we spoke about this a while ago. I still don't necessarily know why we need an Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't know. You're going to have the same slew of characters. You can still run the same content release trajectory as if you just kept Overwatch and kept releasing things.
Yeah.
You know.
I was under the impression they were going to bring out some, like, campaign-based stuff. Like, briefly, like, what they did during the anniversary events, like, very early on when Overwatch first came out, because I loved learning more about the lore and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, maybe Overwatch 2 is going to give us some of that, maybe a bit more PvE or something. But I don't know. It just sounds the same.
I think, to me, they're using Overwatch 2 to try and further justify the investment they've made in esports, because they have made a significant investment in esports, and to a degree it didn't pan out. Like the cost of being an esports team in the Overwatch League is astronomical. Even just purchasing a license, like, into the tens of millions, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, I think if we can sort of bring up the information, I'm like dragging this out of the back of my memory somewhere now. But an initial Overwatch license, I think, was $20 or $30 million back in the day.
While we just have a quick look, I just want to say thanks. Hello, Haughty Chicken. Thank you for the Haughty sub. And Gamma, thank you for the gifted sub as well.
Yeah, what a license cost. The fees were,
oh my God,
they were astronomical.
Okay, so I found an article from the Daily Mail.
This with a pinch of salt because it's the Daily Mail.
This is from 2018, and it said a spot for a team in Overwatch League could cost as much as $60 million starting in Season 2.
Yeah, so the first 12, and as it says there, that's accurate. As it says there, the first 12 paid $20 million for their spot in the Overwatch League. So, like, the, you know, Overwatch 2, maybe it's the fact that it's got the number 2 there. I mean, we've seen so many iterations of Destiny. Essentially, we're up to Destiny 77, right? Like, but because they haven't put a number in front of it, you know, there's probably that sort of deep subconscious that doesn't necessarily notice.
It's the difference in, like, I find that MMOs are the same, because if you release expansions to MMOs, and nobody blinks an eyelid. It's like FOTOR's up to 7 or 8 now. God knows what World of Warcraft is up to now with Dragonflight getting announced.
It's all right. Menthons will tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. But Destiny sort of fits more into that area, I feel. So when they release new stuff, it's an expansion rather than a 2. Although Destiny 2 did... Well, Destiny did get Destiny 2, but I feel like the first Destiny just flopped.
Is Destiny a side-scrolling platformer? What is it again? Is it a MMORPG? Puzzle game.
It's a dating sim.
It's a dating simulator. Sim. That's what it is. It's a dating sim.
You had to date Lance Reddick.
Oh, no. Cade 6.
Cade.
He is gorgeous, by the way, and I'm still sad he died.
Spoiler alert.
There's sticks. Oh, we know how to push buttons on this show. Like with Pav, you mentioned Hollow Knight. With sticks, you call Destiny anything but what it is.
It's not even Pete. It's Peter. Peter.
If you want 54 months.
Hold on, I'll be back in a second.
I love Destiny so much.
But
is Charlie Golf here?
Charlie Golf! But to me, that like Destiny fits into that more of a mold. Mm. And whereas Overwatch... was defined by being Overwatch. It was
exactly,
and so it makes sense if you want to move it forward to have an Overwatch 2 rather than having an expansion because yeah. there was no story to go with it like Enjoy Destiny or this where's that coming from? Go
away. Oh, it'd be that Daily Mail story with a pop up.
Go away. Yeah. So it makes sense as a multiplayer only game to go away from that if you're bringing something new. But from what I've seen so far, you know, with all my zero experience playing Overwatch.
It's just a lot more of the same.
Yeah.
And that's coming from someone who played a shit ton of Overwatch. It appears at this stage to be a lot more of the same. And that might be okay. I mean, we're yet to see. Time will tell, as with these things all the time. Like, you know, it's not as easy as going and just sort of throwing it out there. But time will tell on that. But yeah, if it's just more of the same, you know, we'll see a heap of people come back because they'll be curious. And then
shutting off.
Oh, look, he's got red rooster chips. No, thank you, mate. I'm on a strict diet this week.
What of carbs?
No, I'm being legit. I know I had pasta before. But when you're Italian, you have to have it at least once a week, or you lose your Italian card. hey, because we're not far from 6 o'clock. In fact, we're just about to hit 6 o'clock. Was there anything else, or should we dive into Starfield?
Let's dive into Starfield.
All right, let's go. I'm itching to talk about Starfield, mate, because there's so much that I want to talk about. And, you know, being called No Man's Skyrim and all of that sort of stuff. And we spoke, so on a Monday night, let me bring you into the Game on Australia core content team and how we go about our things. On a Monday night, we have a team catch-up. And we talk about content for the week and what's happening, what we're going to look across. And everybody's there on a Monday night. Writers, the video guys, audio, everything. And this came up. And Zulu made a really good point. He was like, I see all the memes, you know, No Man's Skyrim. But he said, you know what? I loved No Man's Sky. I love Skyrim. So, fuck it. Why can't I have a No Man's Skyrim?
Why the hell not?
I agree with him. I absolutely agree with him. But of course, when you see the comparisons that have been put up throughout the entire week for this and No Man's Sky, it's literally No Man's Sky. Like, it's literally the same game.
No Man's Skyrim.
What were you saying was the same game before? No, the remakes.
Oh, yeah, the remakes.
You know what they've done? They've done No Man's Sky remake, and they've called it Starfield, whatever the fuck it's called.
I saw, I don't know whether you saw this as well. Someone did a side-by-side video of some of the similar mechanics of Starfield and No Man's Sky together. Even some of the creatures.
The
and
mining.
Were like, yeah,
the mining is the same. It's like laser for laser. And then the other thing that they talk about, 1,000 planets. Now, you know what I did actually appreciate about No Man's Sky? Here's what I went with No Man's Sky. They went infinite number of planets. Now, I don't know whether or not they actually meant this at that particular time, okay? But I am going to give them the benefit of the doubt. That at some point, somebody had the conversation and went, guys, if we tell people they've got 100,000 planets that they can explore, they're going to go, how the fuck are we going to get to all those planets? So they went, you know what? There's an infinite number of planets. You'll never visit them all. There's just a heap of planets and it's a brand new thing and yada, yada, yada. These guys have gone, there's going to be 1,000 planets, which says to me they expect you to visit every single one of them. I don't have the time to visit 1,000 planets.
Also, I feel exactly the same because I am a firm believer that there is such thing as an open world game being too big, right? Like,
didn't they say the first city is bigger than? I need to find something.
I just think it's like if they're saying, and this is I've said this before to you as well, but if you're saying that there's 1,000 planets, I am expecting all those 1,000 planets to give me a different experience. Like how do I know they're not just 1,000 planets, but they're just going to be like just that little bit different from the first one? Like,
well, I think they will be. I mean, because like, look at this right now. What we're looking at, okay? This is planet. Say for example, this is planet one, and you are in a laboratory. Now, this actually may be storyline, and this may be the first part of the game, and you're escaping or something. We don't know. But say for example, this is this game. This is the first place that you visit and you come upon this city. Now, this is one city in an entire planet, okay? And then there's 1,000 of these on that one planet. and then there's 1,000 planets with all of the, like, to me, how can you possibly make each and every single one of them different? I just, it's impossible. It's completely impossible.
I was reading over my notes because I was watching the Xbox showcase. I was making notes as I was going along.
Hi, Nana. Welcome. Nana, this is Nana 51's first time listening to this panel. So thank you so much, Nana.
Hi, Nana.
Lovely to have you here, Nana.
And, but yeah, was going back through my notes and the notes that I made for this one.
See, look at this planet.
This is the Fruit Ninja planet.
This is a Bank West planet.
Yeah.
We're in an ad, Charlie. Yeah, we're in an ad, Charlie Golf.
But yeah, and the note I made was 1,000 planets sounds exhausting.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. Like, I agree with Horty Chicken as well. Horty Chicken said, the 1,000 planets worry me. Like, what if they're just empty with other than a few resources and bugs? Like, that's the thing. Like, I just think it's, like, I appreciate the excitement they have because they're like, yeah, we've got 1,000 planets. But I'm like, am I really, really, one, going to want to go to every single planet? Two, how different are they going to be? Three, do I even have the bloody time to go visit 1,000 planets? Mm. Like, you're going to have to really incentivize me to want to travel absolutely everywhere.
I think this was the... So we're looking at New Atlantis. Now, I think they said there's a stat somewhere that New Atlantis is bigger than two of the major cities in Skyrim put together, like, or two of the major regions in Skyrim. Now, if New Atlantis itself is that big, then extrapolate that. And I kind of go, like, 1,000 planets is great, but that's not your selling point here. Like, the person that's going to get enjoyment out of the game is the person who's going to enjoy building their ships and building out their avatar and mining. Like, this for me is, I hope you guys have made, if they've made the experience that good that you don't have to leave the first planet, they've won. They've created a good game.
Yeah.
I think the second you have to leave the first planet to visit the other 999, I think the game's fallen over.
Like, as long as it's just not like fetch quests. Like,
what's like fetch quests?
Or just it's like, I need you to go thing for me. Yeah. Please come bring it back.
And yeah,
I thought that was another game from Summer Games Fest.
No.
all those like RPG games go, oh, adventurer, you are so strong. Go kill me 10 little piglets so we can do something.
And then come back and I'll give you a reward or something. It's just...
Thanks for sending me that video, Sticks. Yeah, that's the comparison video.
Mm. Oh, yes.
This was the other thing, right? So this is the other thing that people are getting hung up on. Oh, God bless the gaming community. They give us so much to talk about.
God bless the internet.
So this is from IGN, and it said Todd Howard, one of the head honchos behind Starfield, he said that Starfield won't allow you to fly seamlessly from space to its 1,000 explorable planets. He's saying the feature is really just not that important to the player to justify the engineering work involved.
I can get that. No, I can get behind that.
Oh, I love this. There's tension here between you two. Wonderful. Okay, Straight, you may begin.
So what I'm picturing this as is you'll fly up. I don't know if you'll fly up off the planet or you'll end up in space somehow and you'll be able to fly around the planet. But when it comes to getting to another planet, it will just go into like hyperspace or something like that and you'll be there. And I'm all right for that because space is fucking big. Right? It's so big. And filling that space, like I've been playing Chorus a bit recently, which is another flight game, and it reminded me a lot of Starlink Battle for Atlas, if you remember that sort of Toys to Life. And going between the planets, you had to fly between them, and you just had this extra boost of speed that you had, but you still had to pay attention to get between them. But I would rather just throw me up a loading screen and say, cool, you're at the next planet.
Go on, Stormy.
Well, I just think, based on what they showed us for this game and the amount of customization that you can have with your ship and all the different components and the way you can kit it out and customize it. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that I can't even fly it properly to the next planet? Now, I don't mind having little fast travel points. I don't mind going into hyperspace. But please, just let me fly the goddamn ship. Like, if I put so much effort into making it my own unique little ship, let me fly it.
That's a really good point. I'll cop that sweet. And hello to Sassless, Truck Simulator Space Edition. I like it. And Rogue Kitty Cat,
reminds me of Mass Effect. I mean, there's, don't say that too loud, because like people will see that and then they'll tweet it and then it'll end up on Reddit and then that's it. We'll see more comparisons between Mass Effect and this game. That's what we're going to spend the rest of the time. I hate flying, so I'm down with not flying. Good on you, bro.
Listen, I think, you know,
for being honest, I like that.
Like I said, I try to be on both sides of the coin. Like I think, yeah, if there is really 1,000 planets, there needs to be an easy way to navigate through that. But if I want to fly my cool ship, my cool spaceship, let me fly the ship, please, just a little bit.
What I would kind of envisage is that the planet, and I kind of hope there is that transition from atmosphere to outer space around the planet. And then
No Man's Sky did it.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are lots of games that do it. So, but the transitioning from planet to planet is where I want it. And yes, I love how much customization you can have into your ship. Like I really love that. And you're right that it would be a real shame if you can't use that.
Do you think there's thought behind this about we're going to make a game so big and so grand that we're not going to let people play another game?
God, I hope not.
I'm still sticking to my first initial core point here about this game. I think there is such a thing as a game being too big, and I feel like this is going to prove that point so much more. Because to me, I'm looking at this, and as much as part of me is excited because I like the concept of No Man's Skyrim, this already seems too overwhelming. Like, this is a lot.
Yeah, there is something to be said for overwhelming, isn't there? Mm. I mean, there is a point where we go from, like, as we say at Goa, like, it's okay to just play, to you've got to make a career out of this to actually play it to its full potential, I guess. And yeah, God. Chatbox reviews. 3 months after launch, 1,000 planets won't be enough. You reckon, Chatterbox?
It depends.
Christ!
It depends on a couple of things for me. One is if there is an end game and sort of multiplayer, so you can run into other people on the planets, because you can build your own bases. And if there are a shit ton of people building a shit ton of bases, 1,000 planets aren't going to be enough if you can see them all.
Is this single player?
As far as I'm aware, but I don't know what sort of interaction.
Yeah, but look at us, mate. We're 8 billion people, like on a planet. You know what I mean? Like if we're going to actually like build, if we're going to talk about this as in terms of like a career simulator, right? Like, and you're going to build things out. We've got a planet to colonize first. Like, you've landed on this one planet, it's just you. You've got to colonize. You have to find a mate, and I don't know how you're going to do that, because Jesus Christ, it's just you on the planet. And then you've got to go about, you know, Adam and Eve-ing it until there's 8 billion people on the planet. You can get off the planet. You find Elon Musk in there somewhere who wants to go to Mars. Then Mars is your second planet. You've got to go and colonize that. You've got to keep going. Like, I want to see the exponential graph on that. I think 1,000 planets is plenty. I think it's heaps. I think it's more than enough.
I feel tired just talking about it.
Oh, man, I'm so tired.
Like, I'm exhausted.
We'll be demanding, where is the DLC? Need another 1,000 planets more. Chatterbox, you better be here every Wednesday night until this game gets released, and then we have months to play this game, and then we can discuss then.
And then we'll see if you're still asking about 1,000 planets.
1,000 planets? Christ.
We'll see.
1,000 planets. I mean, guys, honestly, I'll just leave you with this one point, and it harkens back to the point that I mentioned before. When No Man's Sky became playable, right, and granted it had a lot of shit that it had to get through, but it redeemed itself. It came back, and it's a wonderful game to play. But people aren't talking about the infinite number of planets on No Man's Sky.
No.
They're talking about the mechanics.
That's right.
That's what they're talking about. No one gives a fuck about your 1,000 planets, Todd. Get back in your cave. Build me half a game. Half a game. A third of a game. God, you give me a tenth of the game, it's 100 planets. Jesus Christ. You know they found a supermassive black hole that's half the size of the universe? Did you guys hear about that? Charlie, you would have heard about that. Charlie Goff?
Just smile and nod, Charlie Goff. Smile and nod, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Anyway, whatever.
There's that.
Is that?
Yay, Starfield.
Are we done? How many people did we rack up tonight? What did we get to? Guys, 27 viewers tonight.
Ew.
27 viewers. Now, if we had 1,000 podcasts, right, 27 viewers, we got a long way to go. This is what I'm talking about.
I think we're up to like 250 now. Well, close to that.
Viewer, 250 podcasts?
No, 250 podcasts.
Woo.
Yeah. But
is there anything else anybody wanted to say?
Look, I just want to finish on reiterating what I said at the beginning of this segment, where it's just like the AAA games to me aren't the selling point for Summer Games Fest and everything else that's come out. It's all the little indie games. It's like the High on Life game that's being made by
the Rick and Morty
guys, where all the guns talk and do stupid things. And it's the Last Case of Benedict Fox, which to me, like, it just looks amazing. This 2D side-scrolling platformer investigative type thing where you've got like a devil in you that comes out and jumps. There was Erebon Shadow Legacy, which looks like a really cool stealth game where you can jump into shadows, and there is just so many of these indie games. And there were a few more I'll shout out. Ravenlock, which was a really cool arty style RPG. Cocoon, which was a puzzle platformer. And then the ones we talked about tonight, the Plucky Squire, Metal Hellsinger, and even like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. Like,
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about that already, but seeing that and knowing that there's six-player couch co-op multiplayer in that.
Another one that I hadn't had time to mention that I really like the look of is Lightyear Frontier.
Mm.
That looks right up my alley. That looks really, really cool. Like, you're a mech and you like have a farm. It's like a crafting
space farming sim.
Yeah.
So hang on, Starfield?
No.
Right. Okay. Kind of sounds like Starfield.
No. I think it is just the one planet though. So that's it's already more appealing to me.
Oh, what was it called again?
Frontier.
Lightyear Frontier. They did that because it rhymes. That's where they got that name from.
This one's cute too.
Show it off. Yeah, because it is a really cute little game.
This is a space game I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, look, it's really cute. Sorry, Starfield. I don't give a shit about your 1,000 planets. I'm going to play Lightyear Frontier.
Yeah, you get him, girl. This is really cute.
I'm going to eat my words later. I don't know. Like, I'm still interested in Starfield, but for me, seeing this just on one planet.
Yeah.
No Man's Star Crossing.
Yep.
That's what this is. It's No Man's Star Crossing. There you go. There's your meme for the night.
Look, this is already so much more interesting, I think, to me. I'm going to get absolutely blasted for this by somebody.
No, you're not going to get blasted for this because this does look good, but where are all the people? What happened to the people?
They were killed by the machines.
The uprising.
Okay, so it's Terminator.
But to me, like, and maybe it's getting older and growing up and having so much other stuff to do that sort of a game that I can play for a bit. Like, I've had so much joy just going through Games Pass and going, oh, cool, that indie game looks good, that one looks good, and spend a few hours playing it and then put it back down again and be done.
I was going to play Cat Stevens while you were because this is a very sort of Cat Stevens-y speech.
It's not time to make a change.
Yeah.
Just relax, take it easy.
Yeah, but the issue is I just had a moment where I was like, no, we're going to get DMCA'd because this is on Twitch. Quickly, okay, so you had to pick one, all right? You had to pick one, everything else. Somebody sort of kicked the rest to the curb. You had to pick one great announcement where you were like, this is the only one you get, we're going to burn the rest. What are you going with?
Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Of course you are.
Plucky Squire.
Yeah, it's got to be Plucky Squire for me. I'm really excited by that game.
Well, if I was going to choose an indie one, I'd probably go either Plucky Squire or Lightyear Frontier. Yeah.
You can have Plucky Squire and I'll rethink it and go Metal Hellsinger.
No, you know what I want?
What?
Starfield. Nah, Plucky Squire. Yeah. Bring it on. I can't wait for that. Let's do it. All right. Should we bugger off?
Yeah.
I think so.
Sounds great.
Thanks, guys. For Nuts and Bolts. So we've got a couple more World of
Tanks. What's happening on Nuts and Bolts tonight?
Well, we're chatting to PP Power again from the Cairns Comets after their win in the ANZ B League Grand Final on Friday night, and also JT from the Scorpions who are part of the ANZ PL who won into the Grand Final on the 25th of June at Fortress Melbourne. So we're going to be talking to them. We're going to be talking about a few little things like the LCO's back. So we're talking about that and how Peace lost to Mammoth on Monday night.
Yeah,
which
Jesus Christ.
For those who don't know, Mammoth are one of the lower teams in there.
And have been forever. Yeah, forever and a day.
And Peace are sort of like mid to high level.
Well, Peace were the World's representatives.
Yeah, they went to Worlds last year. Yeah.
I don't know if I told you this, but I used to be general manager.
Really? Oh, no, I didn't know that one.
the LCO.
But and then there's some HCS news. We talk a little bit of COD because there was an Australian player that was playing in the COD League in America that did really well. And there was something that came up. I want to mention it here because I reckon we got a lot of parents listening, but it was one that Natty, who's my co-host on Nuts and Bolts, brought to my attention, where the Fuse Cup.
Oh, yes.
Are running this competition for schools, and they're doing like a year four Just Dance competition.
That's sick.
Yeah. Oh.
So like I the first thing I did, I sent it to my sister who's got a young girl that loves Just Dance. And I sent it to her. I'm not sure what year she in, but would she like this? And yeah, she would, but she's too old for that, but I forwarded it to the school anyway. So yeah.
That's hella cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, hang around for Nuts and Bolts coming up next. Plenty on this week as well. Streamaholics back on Friday night, mm-hmm. which is our streamers chat show, all about content creation. And, of course, the brand new website, the all-new GameOnOz.com, if you want to go and check it out. We'd really appreciate that. You can also, by the way, while you're on the homepage, if you scroll down a little bit on the right-hand side, you can subscribe to the newsletter. So I'm going to start pumping out a newsletter. Join the Discord. Come and check us out. Tell your friends. We'd really appreciate it if you could tell your friends. And also the podcast. If you find the Game on Australia podcast, give us a nice, juicy, fat 5-star rating and some other bits and pieces. Only if you liked us. I mean, if you want to give us a 1-star, that's fine. That's totally fine.
We won't cry, I promise.
it's not fine, but it's totally up to you guys.
Also, thank you, Aussie Broadband. Bloody good game of the week.
Bloody legends.
Thank you.
So right. Bloody good.
Ta-ta.
Bye. Bye.